Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 54 of the Ambitious Freelancer podcast. Today I'm joined by my good internet friend, Sarah Steckler, who is a creative business coach and productivity strategist. I'm super excited to have her on the show to talk about content production and repurposing content, as well as creating content and utilizing your expertise to create an actual physical product like a journal or a planner. I've been following Sarah for a really long time, and I've gotten to know her and her business, and I've taken a few of her courses myself, and I just really am in love with how she runs her business. So I wanted to talk about how she does it all in a seamless or semi-seamless manner, and to how she organizes her business and how she helps other people do the same. So if you are interested in kind of having a more organized business and more organized content production for your freelance business, I think you'll really enjoy Sarah's insight. So without further ado, let's get into the show. Hi, Sarah. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me here today, Amanda. I'm so excited to be here.
Awesome. So to start every podcast, I'd just love to know like who you are and what kind of work you do online.
Yeah. Well, my name is Sarah Steckler, and I'm a creative business coach, and I'm a productivity strategist. And my main mission is helping entrepreneurs organize their brain and business so that they can turn their ideas into journals and planners and profit producers. I also host the Mindful Productivity Podcast, which you've been a guest on, which I love so much. I loved our conversation there. And the biggest thing I help people with currently is helping them create their own journals and self-publish them online. So that's a little bit about the work that I'm doing currently.
Awesome. I love all the work you do. As you know, I was a part of the first round of Publish with Purpose, and we're going to talk about like journaling a little bit later on. But I want to start specifically with some questions about like productivity and processing and processes and stuff. So one of the first things I want to talk about is brain dumping, because one of my favorite products that you have is your brain dump journal. I use it often in my business to kind of organize things, especially when I have a lot going on in my head. So what are your best tips for organizing your thoughts in a strategic yet actionable way?
I love this question. And I think one of the first things I want to touch on before I get into like a strategic way to do this is I always tell people that it's important to understand that our brain is not a storage facility. So it becomes harder and harder and more mentally draining to make decisions or take actions if we're, you know, subconsciously trying to remember all this information in our head, especially when we run a business. So inside the brain dump book, there's actually templates that are there to help you declutter your brain. And I'll give you an example of kind of how this works. I don't know, I'm sure Amanda, you're familiar, but I don't know if your listeners are familiar with Kanban boards in terms of project management, but in there, it's really simple. Like a simple example of using one is having a list of things that you're doing, things that you're doing and things that you've completed. And so I love to actually use this same kind of method when it comes to organizing your thoughts on any given day. And what I can say is it can be tempting to wait until we kind of have a perfect system set up with all of our focus projects mapped out, right? And like, that's the goal, is to get to a place where you can have standard operating procedures. But if you're just getting started, if you're having a day or a week where you're like, how can I organize my thoughts in a simple strategic way? I recommend making 3 quick lists. So, and you can do this in the brain dump book, but you can do this on paper or, you know, in a Google sheet, but basically writing down things that I am doing, things I need to do, and things I want to do. And getting clear on this and getting them all out of your head is going to then help you make priorities and make decisions about what needs to happen and when, and then like what can go into your time blocking schedule.
Yeah, I love all those tips, especially just like getting it out on paper, because I know like it's so easy to be like, oh, I'll remember that. But like you most of the time don't remember what you said you'll remember, because you're not meant to, because the brain is always dumping out things of the short-term memory. And it's not something you can necessarily have that much control over. It's more of a subconscious thing. So putting it on paper is just going to be so much easier than hoping your brain helps and remembers.
Yeah, I totally agree. I know. My brain is always nonstop, so I have to do a brain dump all the time.
Yeah. So another thing I'm so impressed by is how simplified your process is, because I feel like, especially as creators, freelancers, or anything, it's so easy to get caught up in that notion of like, oh, I need to be here, and then I need to be here, and then I need to be here, and I need to do this. And there are so many things that you could do that it's like, we can't do it all. I know that you recently logged off of LinkedIn because it wasn't for you and you didn't feel like your audience was there. And I feel like everyone has this like thing of like, oh, my audience is here. My audience is here. So like, where do I pick? So what tips do you have for others on how to get specific about the content they create so that they're not burnt out or they don't have to work harder than they need to?
I love this question so much because I think when we start our business or when we're starting a creative process, it's really easy to get into a cycle where you feel like you're feeding the content beast all the time and you could never stop. So there are so many different ways to create content and do it efficiently. And it does depend on which stage you're at in your business, right? So for example, if you're just starting out and creating a blog, it can be great to get the ball rolling and just start, right? Create a few focused blog posts that are well-written and provide a lot of value and that allow you to get feedback from your growing audience. But once you have what I call profit producers in your business, you know what it is and how it's going to serve people, then it's really best to start creating content around those offers and services that helps lead people to those paid offerings, right? So that you can actually make money in your business. And then that helps you have a clear call to action, which is vital. So I also have a few types of content that I create. So for example, I have content that drives sales. For example, I have podcast episodes or blog posts that talk about my free self-care reboot course, and that leads into a paid offering called the Self-Care Action Plan. So it's really easy to create more content around that when I know like where that's leading to. But I also think that as creatives, part of why we love creating is because it's like a creativity driver for us. So what I mean is there's a lot of content I just want to create because I love to create it. So I also allow for that. And that kind of helps me fuel my business and also kind of fuels my self-care, if that makes sense. So for example, if there's a topic I want to cover, or if I want to do a fun roundup post of like productivity tools or stuff I'm using, then that'll be something I create in a podcast episode. This type of content is less intensive. And usually it's more of something that I'm sharing instead of teaching. But that content is also important because it builds community, it builds interest, and I feel like people relate to it and it gets shared in different ways. But my main tips, coming back to your original question here, for figuring out what type of content you're creating is to really get clear on, is it a driver to a product or a service, or is it more for creating, you know, community and connection? And then which medium feels best for you? So for example, it's a low mental energy drain for me to produce a podcast episode. Like, I love podcasting. I love getting on here and talking versus doing a YouTube video, which to me feels like so much more work. So my tips for people listening are get specific about what the content is and where it's driving people. If it's more for you and your creative process that's relatable, or if it's going to lead to, you know, a specific CTA and a product that you're producing. And then also, what kind of medium do you want it to be?
Yeah, I love those tips because I feel like it gives a lot of permission for people, because I feel like we don't talk as creatives enough about like money and actually creating content that drives money. It's more like, oh, you should just be putting out content and like giving and giving. But like eventually that really burns a lot of people out when there's not like a clear driver. And it might not necessarily be like a service. It could be affiliate links. It could be a service. It could be a product. It could be anything. And so there's so much that we can do, even as like freelancers, to like make money. And it's okay to create content for the sole purpose of, you know, making money. I think that's something
we all need to know. I love that point. Yeah. And also too, it's like, right, like the more content that you're making that does drive profit, then the more content you can create that does help people for free. So I think that's important to realize.
Yeah, I think that's also a really good point. Like, you can't do this for free. No one can do this for free. No one can sustain that. So if you give yourself permission to create that paid content or that content that has a funnel, then you're able to branch out a lot more because you have more freedom. You have more time to do that.
Yeah.
So moving into kind of repurposing content, because this is another place I think you shine. Mm. And I think that a lot of people, need to start kind of repurposing the content, whether you're a freelancer or just a content creator, repurposing really does help you like take a piece of content and turn it into something that a lot of people do. Because I know that often, like, I'll see you do lives on Instagram and then you'll turn this into IGTV videos, and like you'll also turn it into like a regular feed post, or you'll also turn it into like a story post. And I think that's just so cool, and that's just with Instagram. So what advice would you give for people looking to repurpose that content without feeling like their audience has seen the content before, which I think is something a lot of people struggle with when it comes to repurposing?
Yeah, I think that's a big fear. I know when I first started, it was like, okay, well, what if I make this blog post and then I even share it again and people have already read it? And the thing, I think we all have this fear that people will see the same content again and have this feeling like, oh, I've already seen that. But honestly, I think that's a big myth. I think that people actually need to see the same content again and again and again. I can even think of amazing blog posts I've read from other bloggers, and I'm so glad I see it again in not only the same format, but other ways, because I need that reminder, or I didn't get a chance to read it. And I don't know what the statistics are on, like, you know, how many people actually see, you know, your Facebook posts or your Instagram stories. But the majority of people, I mean, people, even people that follow me all the time and listen to every single podcast episode every Monday, they're still not hearing everything. So my advice is, to the best of your ability, not worry so much about people seeing things again. And yeah, get creative in what you create. So for example, and also just saves you your mental sanity and really helps with your productivity. But if there's like a topic that I do a live on, right? Like I'll do a live on Instagram, and during that live, let's say that like there's a ton of people that show up and the comments are just exploding and people are like, oh my gosh, this relates to me so much. I so identify with this. That's also an opportunity to be like, oh wow, this piece of content is really valuable. So what I'll do is, after an Instagram live, there's that like brief amount of time where you can download it. And then if you forget, it's like, no, but I usually download my live. And then yeah, I'll repurpose it as an IGTV video. I'll break it up into smaller segments and use it as a story. But then I will also take the audio, and I think I just throw it up into like iMovie, and you can export it as just a MP3 file. And so I'll do that. And then that becomes a podcast episode. And then I'll just, on the podcast, I'll be like, hey, this week I'm sharing a live I did with you guys on my Instagram. And then that's also an opportunity for them to come follow me. Like, right. Like if you want to catch one of these lives, you know, and hear your voice in the comments or whatever, when I'm talking to everyone involved, then come join me on Instagram. Also, when you're clear, like moving back to the last thing we were just talking about, when you're clear about what your profit producers are or what the main kind of content you're creating is, then you've got a big picture strategy. Because then if you know, like, let's say, like Amanda, take one of your journals, for example, like the Ambitious Freelancer Planner. Like, let's say that you have content around that and you want to help have people learn about the planner and then buy it on Amazon. So you could create content around that. And then that blog post could become different things, right? Like it could also become a podcast episode. And then that podcast episode could have quotes in it that become Instagram graphics, and those little even segments of the podcast, like little pieces, like what's the word I'm looking for? Like little info bites or whatever that are really tangible that could become a written post in an Instagram post. So essentially you're creating less content. You're creating one bigger piece of content, and then you're taking that and breaking that out into, you know, what goes into your social media feed, or if you're on LinkedIn or whatever, that becomes the content that you're using throughout that week. And it just becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, it definitely does. Especially like with freelancing, I know, kind of bringing it back to, it is like you do a lot of content production for other people, especially if like you're like me, a freelance writer, that so you don't want to spend like all your time and energy creating this like a million pieces of content to promote your business. So if you can just promote like one big piece of content, whether that's like a podcast or a blog post or whatever it happens to be, and break it down into different ideas and strategies, like that's just a really great way to kind of give yourself more time to promote your business without spending a lot of time in the content creation beast.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just becomes so much easier. And then like that whole week too, or that whole month or whatever, you have a theme. So you know what you're talking about when you go live, or when you're, you know, asking people to jump into the DMs and have a conversation. It can be around the content you've already created. And that kind of helps you from, because I hate that feeling when you're like, I want to post on Instagram, but what do I post? You know, and then like, then you know, and you eliminate that decision fatigue.
Yeah, I've definitely come up with like a lot of like utilizing on Instagram what I've already posted and like using it on my blog too with this podcast is that like I do these interviews and I break it down and I usually have like a little quote from the person and then I have another conversation about what we did with the person. So like two of my four posts a week on Instagram are just things that I've already done with the podcast. And it saves me so much more time when I'm creating content. So I'm not thinking about like Instagram content as much. And it's already conversations. And then I've started last month doing like a podcast recap, utilizing some of the stuff I put on Instagram in the episode. So it's just so much easier.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea. Yeah. Also too, that reminded me, don't be afraid to like reshare old stuff on your Instagram, because the thing is like, you've got a library of stuff like anyone does, you know, in their Instagram feed. And most people aren't going to your page and like going back, like scrolling to all your past posts. So don't be afraid to like repurpose captions, repurpose, you know, share to your stories. I do that often with like quotes and that people like never saw, right? Because you're also getting new followers all the time. So they haven't seen, you know, stuff that you did 3 months ago.
Yeah. It's all amazing tips. So moving into another topic about productivity is figuring out what makes you productive. I know that can be challenging for me, and there's a lot of trial and error until you get those strategies that actually work for you. So what advice would you give other entrepreneurs on making those transitions between productivity strategies? Because I know you've talked about like trying out different types of things like Asana and Trellos and different things to figure out what works for you. So how can you figure out the transition, I guess, between strategies?
This is such a, yeah, I'm laughing because I still have to catch myself here, because my biggest advice is to avoid getting caught up in all the fun productivity tools. Like it's, and it seems like there's more and more of them all the time. And like there's websites that have like lifetime deals on this productivity thing. And it's so tempting to stop what you're doing and try out a new productivity tool or app and think this is going to be what like makes me more productive than anything. But the truth is that what you really like need to do, and what I tell people to do inside Organize Your Overwhelm, is to really just come back down to basics, right? So there are amazing project management systems out there, Trello, Asana, Amazing Marvin, and they can all work for you. But if you spend hours constantly trying to set something up in there and tweaking it, you're not actually moving the needle in your business, right? So what I really recommend doing to get started is to either just like write things down on paper or, you know, a Google Doc. And really, again, even just starting from that brain dump exercise we talked about, right? Like writing down your tasks, what you're doing, what you want to do, what you need to do. And then avoiding wanting, just like anything in life, right? Cooking, exercise, whatever. Avoid that feeling or that pressure for what you're doing to look good on the gram, so to speak, or Pinterest good. I think it's really tempting to have our productivity look a certain way. Like even just with paper planning, I see people wanting their pages to be pretty. And there's a big difference between functional planning and productivity and actually just like getting it done. So again, if something's not intuitive to you, like if you're starting it, even if you're starting like with Asana and it's just like not clicking with the way your brain works, then my advice is just move on, right? Find what works for you. And if there's an uphill battle in making something work for you, then you're not being productive. So it, you know, give yourself permission to move on to the next thing.
Yeah, that's definitely some great advice. And I think that it's like that kind of sunk cost fallacy of like, oh, I've already put so much time into this, I'm just going to continue to like dive into this. Like,
yeah,
you pretty much know, like, I think first impressions are everything. So you pretty much know if something's going to work for you way earlier than you probably want to quit it. So I feel like you just have to kind of be real with yourself, because everything changes. And I know for me, everything changes. Like sometimes I want Asana and I need that structure, and sometimes I need a Google Sheet, and sometimes I need a to-do list. So I mean, giving myself grace and not like trying to like do, I don't need 3 months planned out in Asana. Like sometimes I just need a week and it'll be okay.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I totally resonate with that because some projects I work on, it's like all on paper and that's like how my brain figures things out. And then other times if it's like a workflow procedure, right? Like even creating a podcast episode, then I'll have a template in Asana that's like, make sure you're doing this and uploading it and blah, blah, blah. And it's easy to check that off. But I really like that too, is that different projects may need different tools.
Yeah. So now I kind of want to move into like the biggest part of this, which is all about like planning and, you know, creating a journal to grow your business. Because I know that I went through, like I said earlier, the first round of Publish with Purpose. I know you're launching that right now as we are, well, not right now, but like when I upload this, you'll be launching this. And so I went through the course. I did 2 journals within the 60 days. So it definitely works. But I just really want to talk about the journaling experience and about self-publishing and stuff like that. So first and foremost, I want to know what drew you to journals and planners in the first place. I know you discuss a lot about organization and planning, but how do you use them to stay more organized?
So I've loved journals and planning since I like was a teen. And then there was this big hiatus where I never used them. And into my mid to late 20s, I remember feeling this pull to start using journals and planners again, but it almost felt like it was for teenagers or something. And I remember kind of having this moment where I was like, no, I want to kind of reclaim this for myself. And I really started finding the value of writing things down. You know, they tell you that, you know, you have a much higher probability of not only getting things done, but, you know, being successful in your life the more often that you write down your goals and your dreams and all of that. So I found a lot of value in that. And then I was actually, when I was going through my master's program, I started writing down all of my tasks and everything I needed to do in this tiny little notebook I got. And I had like a week at a glance page and it was like really helpful. And I found it more helpful than trying to use something online. I just liked, you know, writing down and checking things off. And I also got a lot of joy out of that. And I realized, wow, this can really help me stay organized. So I kind of started with that and I kind of dabbled in bullet journaling, but it was like a lot of work to try to create a spread all the time. So for me personally, where I started was they really helped keep me organized in my master's program. And then as I started my business, I realized that there were different templates I could create for myself to, you know, keep track of statistics and data and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of like where it all started for me. And then eventually I was like, got to a point, right, where I was like, I want to create my own. And I know we'll talk about that too.
Yeah, I love the topic of like bullet journals because I love the way they look. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool that you can do that. But like the act of like setting things up isn't really what gets me. And I feel like it just it's a lot of time sunk on that every week. And like, I don't know, like the act of putting it together just doesn't appeal to me. Obviously I do it like when I'm setting up like a journal page online, but like getting out the markers and all that stuff doesn't really, like, that's not the kind of planner I am. I'm more of like, can I just slap up all the stuff I need to do and like check it off? Like, so for me, planners just give me so much more like structure to that process. I don't have to like think about it.
I totally relate to that. Yeah. I mean, it's almost like, I would call it almost like scrapbook planning because it's like a creative outlet, but it's not necessarily being productive.
Yeah. I love that people do that. And I see like playing with me. So they're so fun. But like for me, I'm just like, can I just get the bare minimum? So yeah. Moving into kind of the self-publishing aspect of it, before you did the self-publishing, I know you were approached by a company to do kind of your own own journal through a traditional publisher. Can you kind of tell me about that experience?
Yeah. So gosh, I think this was back in 2016. It was really funny because I actually, it was like around Christmas time and I walked into, my husband and I go out for dinner every year on the 23rd for Festivus, which is, if you don't know, this like fake holiday that was created on Seinfeld and we like have adopted it as our own. And it's really funny because some people think we're actually serious. But anyway, we go out every year. And after our annual Festivus dinner, we walked into one of the, like some stationery store. And I just kind of like said out loud, I was like, I'm going to publish a journal this year and I'm going to have it in a bookstore. And my husband was like, oh yeah, like, wow. Okay. And then about two 2 or 3 weeks later, emailed a publisher that had read one of my blog posts that had went kind of like, I don't know, kind of viral on Pinterest. It had like at the time, like 10,000 repins or something. And they said, hey, we love this blog post. We want to talk to you about turning it into a journal. And so I said, okay, cool. And so we talked about it. And what we ended up doing was they ended up paying me upfront to create and produce the journal. And then in turn, they were able to get that, which is now 100 Life Challenges. They were able to get that into Barnes and Noble, Target, a store in Canada, I think it's called Indigo Chapters. And then it's various other places throughout the United States. And that was really cool to just kind of have that, you know, visibility and stuff. And there was, I mean, it was a really fun process. And what was fun about it was I, you know, had creative control over the content. And then there was a whole design team that created, you know, the cover for me and, you know, produced it and got it into the store. So it was a really, really fun experience. But there were some moments where I remember being like, oh, I wish I could kind of like tweak some of these like designs, or I wish I could have more of a say in this or that, or I wish I could move up the time frame. Cause I think it took from the time that I finished it until it actually got in stores in Barnes and Noble was like over a year. So I remember being really impatient and just like wanting the tangible copy, but I was on their timeline. So there were pros and cons.
Yeah. So moving into that, like, I'm sure like a lot of those things were what drew you to self-publishing, but like, why did you pick specifically, I guess, KDP over other self-publishing
companies? Yeah, great question. Because there are a lot of different ways to go about it. I guess what draws me or drew me originally to Kindle Direct Publishing is that there's virtually no overhead costs. So KDP is a platform that you can use for free. And one of the things that's nice about it is that when you self-publish through them, you get a free listing right on Amazon, which is like a giant search engine because we're all going on Amazon to search for products. I went on there to search for journals or if there's like a specific thing I need for my dog. That's like, I'm going there oftentimes before Google. So you get a listing on Amazon because if you run an Amazon seller's account selling whatever, you have to pay a monthly fee to have those listings on there. So that's a huge benefit of it. Also, I love that it was print on demand. So I didn't have to buy a ton of inventory. You see a lot of people creating journals and they need Kickstarter campaigns or they need to invest a lot of their own money into even just getting the physical copies and not necessarily knowing if those are going to sell. And so I knew I didn't want to end up with like a bookshelf of my journals and have sunk costs. And I wanted to get it out to people as quickly as possible. So KDP allows that. And, you know, also your journals are eligible for Prime shipping. They ship all around the world. I remember the first month back in 2018 when the Mindful Productivity Planner launched, people ordering from Japan and Italy and the UK. And it was so cool because I didn't have to worry about, you know, sales tax or shipping. They could just go online and order them. So it just became really easy to take an idea and turn it into a journal that way.
Yeah, those are all really great things that kind of drew me to KDP too, because I didn't want to have to deal with a lot of the things. I know one of the big things I didn't want to deal with was sales taxes. Cause like,
yeah,
if my journal gets sold wherever, I'm like, how do I deal with that? And I know that was some of the things she said, like, oh, you don't have to deal with that. Amazon does that. And it was like such a weight off my shoulder. Cause I was like, you know, I don't want to have to like have 50 different states, like sales tax problems. Like that would just be a lot. So, yeah, I just loved that part of KDP. And also just like you said, the Amazon Prime is a really big thing. Not having to have inventory in my own house, also another great thing. And then also I really wanted it to use it because I thought it would be like a really great way for like attracting people to my audience and connecting with potential clients. So I'd love to know, how have you used your journals and your business to attract clients and coaching work?
Yeah, this is huge. And I think too, it's a great way to not only get a physical product out into your audience, and there's such a connection too. There's something about even just buying a journal from a creator and knowing you're holding something they created. There's a connection that you form, you know, with that person online. And so that's really cool. But personally, my journals have allowed me to connect with my audience and also give them a tangible way to create, you know, a quick win or have a result in their lives, right? So with the Mindful Productivity Planner or with the Daily Productivity and Brain Dump book, those are like my two big sellers with my journals. those really allow me to create fun content around them. So I also do like a lot of kind of videos walking people through how to use those or different ways. There's a whole like planning party workshop I have for the Mindful Productivity Planner. But essentially talking about those, it's a great way to, you know, attract more people into my courses or working with me one-on-one. And I always have, you know, information in my journals about that, but I also draw people to the podcast that way. And then the podcast also has people, you know, go check out the journals. And then also it's just a fun thing to send to clients that I'm currently working with. So usually when I start working with a client for 3 months, depending on their goals and stuff, I'll send them a copy of each book or I'll send them a different one and I'll be like, let's go through this, or that can be part of their homework. So it really starts to become this kind of integrated part of your work that you do. You know, it's similar to if you've ever taken a class in college and you've had an instructor that has a textbook, a required textbook that they've actually written, right? So you're actually going through something they created in the course, and it becomes that much more cohesive. So journals or planners that create in your business allow you to do that with your clients as well.
Those are all really great things. And I haven't used it for that as much as like, just like it's a part of that Ambitious Freelancer for sure. It's like, I always link people back to this through this podcast and through all the stuff I do on this side of my business. So now that we talked about kind of self-publishing in general, I want to talk about your course specifically. I did go through, like I said, the first round of Publish with Purpose this last fall, like fall, winter type of thing. So I know that you're launching the third round this spring around March, April. So can you tell us kind of what that course is and like why it's a great course to be a part of?
Yeah, thanks so much for letting me talk about it. Yeah, so Publish with Purpose is a 60-day program. There's 8 weeks in the program, and it's everything you need to create, format, and launch and self-publish your own journal on or planner on Amazon in 60 days or less. And why this is so powerful is I give you the step-by-step process and formatting videos, tutorials, checklists, everything you need to do, because I think a lot of people get into KDP. I know, Amanda, you said this, you get into KDP and you look at the dashboard and it can kind of be overwhelming with how to take action, right? Like you may have a journal idea, but I lead you through all the stuff you really need to consider, right? So we go through the journal outline template. I tell you, you know, what legal stuff you need to consider for your journal, what you need to incorporate, things that you need to do for your description that you have on Amazon, and also all the ways that you can build hype around your journal and really market it and position it. Because it's one thing to create something and put it online. It's another thing to see recurring journal sales. So we're also talking about, you know, ways to content like around those journals, similar to what we talked about today. And what's really the most powerful part of this program is that you're doing this in a group format with other creative entrepreneurs. So again, we have weekly group calls and we meet live on Zoom. We have a private Facebook group. And then every iteration of the program that we do, every round, then goes into the alumni group. And I know round two is going to be ending. We're already in week 5 right now. At the time of this podcast, we'll be kind of like rounding it out. And so those people are going to be joining the alumni group. So you really enter into this community of people that are sharing their ideas and sharing their journal pages every week on these live calls. And we also have formatting office hours too every week where you can get on Zoom and we can all work together and be accountable for that. So really it's just this cohesive group that gets you to do the thing and walks you through everything. So there's no questions and less stress about, you know, formatting and margins and all the details that come with, you know, creating your own journal.
Yeah, like I agree with all of that. And like going through the first round, I definitely felt that like every week it would be like, oh, I have to get some stuff done because like I got to get to this office. I got to go to these hours and I have to like explain what I've done and like really help me stay accountable because otherwise like it's so easy for things to get pushed in the background. And I also love that the material is there like forever. And then I'm able to like go through, like I go through the course like often, like every couple weeks. And like when I like want to launch a new journal, like I already have all the information there. So yeah, you can work within the course, but it's also just helpful because now I have all of the skills that I needed to kind of do that. And also it's just kind of helped me with like also like the formatting and like learning how to format properly, like stuff that you can like print. And so I feel like that is a comfortable skill I've learned, like not just like for myself, but I can help other people with it too. So it's just like such a great course for me to like learn all the those skills and like be able to repeat the process, because it's such a repeatable process.
Yeah, that's the thing too, is like you created two in 60 days and so many people are already going back. So this is really a system that you can use to create, you know, endless products, endless journals. And also too, a lot of people end up creating, you know, printables or opt-ins to drive sales to their journals, and they become a lot more comfortable. And the last thing I'll say is that we also use really accessible tools. So if you're not comfortable with Adobe products, we use Canva, we use Apple Keynote, and I show you ways to use, you know, free tools in a way that, that can be easier if you are overwhelmed or you don't, you know, have the time to invest in using, you know, more complex systems or tools online.
Yeah, I know that I did it with tools because I had all apps already, but I know pretty much everyone else in my like course did it using Canva and a Keynote. So it's definitely possible. I just had like some kind of weird like complex going on in my head. I was like, I might as well use what I already had. So yeah.
No, totally. Well, and Adobe's amazing, right? So I think it's awesome, whatever you want to use, but it's nice to have the option to know that you know, you don't have to have one specific software to make this possible.
Yeah, definitely. I love everything that my classmates did. Like, I look at their stuff all the time. I'm like, wow, you did a lot of work in 60 days. And like everyone's journals that I saw, I'm just blown away. And like, it really is just like such a hive mind of information. And like, I remember some people like did their own doodles and art. And that was something you taught us how to do. And it was just like a really great opportunity to learn like just different ways of how people went about their whole course or their whole like journal setup. So you learn so much from the people and from you. And yeah, I just love that course so much.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was really fun to see everything that you did. So I'm so glad that we were able to talk about it.
Yeah. So kind of last question to kind of wrap up. I know that entrepreneurship can be scary for someone who's just getting started. And so kind of to talk about getting started with entrepreneurship and freelancing and stuff like that, what advice would you give for someone getting started who wants to live a more organized and productive business life?
Well, this might seem kind of simple, but I guess I would say to really choose one thing that you can help people with and start there. And when you choose that one thing, you're going to be able to build your content around that one thing, you know, build your hashtags around that one thing, and also build the back end of your business around that one thing. And that's going to really save your sanity and it's going to save you time. And you can always expand later. So what I always tell people, and I tell myself this too, is that, you know, you have a lot of amazing ideas, but none of them will impact other people if you don't work on one at a time and bring it into the world in a tangible way that others can benefit from. So my biggest piece of advice is to create a focus project around one thing and start there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like a lot of people, when they're looking at entrepreneurs or freelancers, they look at them at the wrong stages. They're not really looking at how they started. They are, because most of those people that you look up to, they've been in business for a while, so they have a lot of stuff that they're doing, but that took time for them to build. And so it's important to be like, okay, I don't have to be there at the start. I can be here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, to wrap up, can you let my audience know where they can find you online?
Yeah. So I'm always hanging out on Instagram at Mindful Productivity Blog. I also have all of my resources, and you can access the free self-publishing masterclass that's going to be available soon by going to mindfulproductivityblog.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Amanda. This was so much fun.
So there you have it, another episode of The Ambitious Freelancer is in the books, and I'm so excited we got to have that conversation with Sarah about how she runs her business and organizes things and how she produces content and repurposes content and even uses her own expertise to create self-published products. I hope that you guys enjoyed that and got to know a little bit more about how she helps other people. So I do have experience with Publish With Purpose, and I was in the first round of Publish With Purpose. So if you want to learn more about her program, definitely go to The Ambitious Freelancer. ambitiousfreelancer.com/podcast and found her episode and learn more about it, learn more about her. And I'm excited for you guys to get to know this program because it has helped me in my own business. So yeah, that's pretty much it for today. And I can't wait to talk with you guys next week with another amazing interview. So I've been loving this format for a long time now, and I love connecting with you guys. So can't wait to see you guys next week. Bye!